We the voices behind the faith of the Hawaiian nation, the Hawaiian race, rise for justice, the day has come for all our people to stand as one. E ala e, e ala e. We the voices behind the face, the Hawaiian nation, Hawaiian race, rise for justice, the day has come for all our people to stand as one. E ala e, e ala e.
Well, aloha, everyone. Aloha. This is KP here in the beautiful Big Island of Hawaii. And we are now, we have a special show today. It's October 24th, 2014. And we have a special show today that I think a lot of you will enjoy. And you'll be introduced to some things about the Kingdom of Hawaii, which some of you may or may not be familiar with. Of course, that includes everybody. If you may or you may not. But first of all, we have two people on the show today. First, I'd like to introduce Lanny Sinkin, who's worked with the King of Hawaii for quite some time. Lanny, can you introduce yourself again? Aloha.
Oh, sure. aloha. Thank you, Kawila Pele, and thank you for doing these shows. I think it's an opportunity for us to share with the rest of the world the exciting developments that are going on in the kingdom and the exciting potential that exists for the vision that the kingdom holds. I have been active with the sovereignty movement in Hawaii for a long time. I lived in Hawaii for 17 years. And during that period of time, I came to know Kalihi, the king, and have been working with him for the last 8 or 9 years on restoration of the kingdom. And my position is Ali'i Manaʻo Nui, and it is a position that was created by the last queen of Hawaii, Queen Liliʻuokalani. And she created it as a position that would be filled by a person whose responsibility would be to speak the truth always to the monarch with no fear of retribution or punishment. It was a very creative position that she formed there to be sure that at least one person in her cabinet or privy council was always required, basically, to speak the truth, even if it was hurtful or embarrassed her or whatever. Because of the illegal overthrow of the kingdom, she never had an opportunity to fill that position. And when the king was in the process of beginning the restoration of the nation, he read about that position, learned about that position, and wanted to fill that position. I was serving as his chief counsel at the time, and he asked me if I would be willing to fulfill that position, and I said that I would. So I have been serving as a Ali'i Manaʻo Nui for the last 8 or 9 years. To the king.
Well, thank you, Lanny. We thank you for your service. And we will be talking together here about a few things that I think several people felt needed to be addressed. And I know you've got a lot of perhaps more extended history with it than I won't call her the other participant. No, I won't say that. She's the she is the Chief Justice of the Kingdom of Hawaii, and Jennifer Pawlowski. And Jennifer, aloha and welcome to the KP Radio Show.
Aloha, KP. Thank you for having me on as your guest.
And I know that you've been, first of all, could you give us a little bit of your background, you know, what your specialties have been, and you don't have to go into too much detail, but just basically I'm trying to find out what brought you to Hawaii and how you connected with the kingdom.
My path was a little bit different than Lanny's. It was a much more abrupt. I had been working for about seven years in the intellectual property, patent, trademark, and copyright litigation field, with a lot of also commercial transaction litigation, and for a firm in San Jose. And, well, I worked for them for several years, but I've been litigating for seven. And I was having some health problems, just unusual health problems that the doctor really couldn't figure out. It ended up being a very, very serious cancer. And it popped up a couple different times, made me very, very sick. And at one point, I was required to take a 45-day medical leave from my job. And it was on that leave, actually, that I started to realize that it had been years since I had seen a sunrise. It had been years since I had seen a sunset. I hadn't seen the ocean, even though I lived in San Jose, which is only an hour from the ocean. Hadn't seen the ocean in months. And I knew I needed to make a change. Mm-hmm. I needed something to be different. And to make a long story short, when I got done with that 45-day leave, I gave my notice at the law firm. And my parents decided that they were very happy because I was so, so sick. And they discovered I had a very, very severe gluten allergy, and that's what caused all my health issues. So cutting out gluten really just helped me get my health back in almost no time at all. And my parents actually were so excited to have me back, because I probably was given about 6 months to live because my organs were shutting down. But once I cut the gluten out, health got restored very nicely. And we went to a conference in Carefree, Arizona. And I didn't know what the conference was about. I had no idea. But a place called Carefree sounded just up my alley at that time. So I went with my parents to Carefree, and I met some very interesting individuals who were doing some wonderful work here on the islands. And it was the most incredible experience I'd ever had, because I felt right then and there that I needed to get to the island. I felt it. And I literally did this weirdest thing. I actually took off my shoes and socks, and I went out into the desert, and I said, is this for me? Because it feels like it's for me. It feels like this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And all I can describe it as is an intense energy of, like, light that coursed through my body. And I said, yeah, I've got to go. Got to go to Hawaii. So I spent the next 6 months really recovering and getting my health back on track. And then I moved out here a little over a year and a half ago. And through my travels out here, I met several women who are very active in the Hawaiian sovereignty movement. Met a wonderful woman named Auntie Aho, who was doing some great work for Hawaii. And mm-hmm. It was through my relationship with Aho that I met Edmund Kaili'i Silva Jr., who is the King of Hawaii. And we had begun working together on a few different projects that were of a legal matter concerning jurisdiction of the federal government over these islands. And I had been doing some research for him. And it was through that project, we were trying to help some Hawaiian people that the king felt were improperly imprisoned and that were basically being held under federal jurisdiction and they should not have been. So I did a bunch of memorandums for him and some legal research and wrote some letters for him. And that is when he asked me to be his Chief Justice. And that was a little less than a year ago today. So I've been serving as Chief Justice for Edmund Kaili'i Silva Jr. for the last year, I would say.
Oh, well, did you meet on Oahu or on Maui or one of the other islands?
Yes, I was on Oahu. I was actually at Auntie Aho's house. And we were doing some paperwork together. I've been actively assisting in trying to save a lot of Hawaiian homes from foreclosure and just from all the mess that goes on with the fraud the banks are committing all over the world. And I was attempting to use Hawaiian patents because the Hawaiian kingdom has its own patenting system that dates back over 200 years ago. And I was working with Aho doing some of that work. And I was at her house assisting with some of that paperwork when I met Kaili'i for the first time.
Okay. Well, so what convinced you that this guy, Edmund K. Silva Jr., was what we'll call the real deal as far as being with the kingdom and being the king of the Kingdom of Hawaii?
Well, you can respond to that either in a 3D sense, or you can respond to it in a higher consciousness sense. But in the 3D sense, you know, he's got everything that a leader needs. You know, he's got the genealogy, he's got the pedigree, he's got the experience. he fits that mold in every way, shape, or form. And the things that he has done, because there are many, many groups out here that are trying to restore the nation, but for various reasons that I won't get into, they're unsuccessful for many different reasons. But of all of these groups, there is no one that has, there's a lot of self-interest that goes on in a lot of these groups, things that are being done for whoever that proposed leader is at the time. But with Kalihi, the things that he has done as a leader for the nation, for the people. Those are the interests that he serves. He truly works for the people as a true king should. And that is something that is very, very different than I've seen in the other groups, is that he's not concerned about himself so much as he is his nation and his people. And that is a king to me. But in the higher consciousness realm, it's a feeling. When I first spoke to him, when you first meet him, there truly is an energy about him that is very unique and very special. And it is a type of energy, it's the only type of energy that I have ever come across that in my view is capable of restoring an entire nation from illegal occupation. Because it's a connectedness to the people and to the land that is very, very spiritual. And if anyone who is awake meets this man, it is impossible to ignore. So that is how I knew that he truly is the king.
Well, I really appreciate you sharing that, Jennifer. And I know that, you know, the last show, Lanny talked about his connection and realizing that there was so much being done to block this this person from getting out of prison, and that was part of his awakening, that this guy really, I mean, that was part of it. So there's, in any event, what I'd like to do now, Lanny, if we go back to you, one of the issues that came up with, and this was shared to me by Edmund K. Silva, that I think some of the people felt that they wanted to cover something which I'd never heard of before I met, started looking into the Kingdom of Hawaii, and that has to, it's something called the Royal Kupuna Exchange. I wondered if you could give us a little bit of a background as to what this thing was. And I know that supposedly the king was associated with, someone said that the king, that they took on the king's presence in this exchange as if he were backing it. And apparently, my understanding is he didn't know anything about it. So instead of me telling me everything, I take it you started dealing with this a few years ago.
I'd be happy to tell the story. And before getting the story part of it, I want to just suggest that people listen to this carefully as a lesson in what we are dealing with, and to be slow to reach conclusions until you have all the facts. What we're dealing with in Hawaii right now are people who have had their nation stolen from them 130 years ago, if you will, and who are have been subject to all kinds of abuse. Their religion was taken away from them, their social system was taken away, their language was taken away for a while. It was illegal to speak Hawaiian in the schools. Their economic system of shared land ownership and all of the systems that created their civilization were essentially either disrupted or destroyed by the missionaries and their descendants. And that has badly damaged the people of Hawaii, who we are now trying to rally to restore their nation. And one of the effects of that kind of abuse is people are very quick to judge whether someone's good, bad, or indifferent, without necessarily taking the time to thoroughly explore what's gone on. So talking about the Royal Kupuna Exchange, this is one of those moments where that lesson can be brought home. So what happened was, a man came to some of the elders on the island of Hawaii and said that he had access to a great deal of gold and that he wanted to donate that gold to the restored Kingdom of Hawaii. The elders he was talking to had formed a government, issued a proclamation, adopted a constitution, and selected Edmund Kalihi Silva Jr. as the king. So this other man comes to some of those elders and says he would like to put his gold at the service of the kingdom. And he suggested to them that what they could do was issue bonds that would be backed by this gold and use the proceeds of the bonds to restore the nation, set up the government, do the programs, all the things they wanted to do to restore the nation. But they thought it was a wonderful idea. They picked it up and ran with it and created the Royal Kupuna Exchange, which supposedly was offering bonds backed by gold, where the proceeds of the sale would be used to restore the kingdom. And in that website, because they had selected Kalihi as the king, they included him on the website and mentioned him as the king on the website. So one day I got a call that there was this website that had the king's name on it. And did I know anything about it? Because it didn't look legitimate. And I checked on the website. I found his name on it. I called him. He was still in prison at the time. I called him in the prison in Colorado, and I said, do you know anything about the Royal Kupuna Exchange? And he said he did not. What is it? And I said, well, it's a website that's offering bonds backed by gold to restore the kingdom, and it's got your name on it. He said, well, I never gave my permission to have my name on that, and I don't know anything about it. So I contacted the webmaster, and I said that the king's name should be taken off of this website, or the website itself should be taken down. Well, as it turned out, the man who said he had gold was a con artist, and that he had conned the elders into believing he had this gold and getting them to set up this website and to try and sell bonds, I guess, and take the money and run. But he was exposed, and that was when I insisted that the website come down because it was all based on a fraud. But meanwhile, the authorities had taken enforcement action against the Kupuna, Royal Kupuna Exchange website as selling securities improperly, that kind of thing, and were forcing them to out of the field. But the damage was done. The king's name was on the website, and anybody familiar with the internet knows it doesn't matter what you do. Once something's on the internet, it stays there. I went through the internet with every effort I could, locating wherever this story appeared that he was part of some kind of scam, and told them the facts and asked them to take it down. And even where people took things down because it wasn't true, they're cached on the internet. So you can still find some of those pages. You can still find, there's one newspaper that has a story that talks about him being part of this fraud, and I had written directly to them and asked them to take it down or correct it, and they won't because they're opposed to the restoration of the kingdom. So they like having the king be discredited by a false story. But that's essentially what we're dealing with in the Royal Kupuna Exchange. And I mentioned that history of abuse and oppression because I think that that's the heart of what really happened here. This guy was able to con the elders because they were so desperately looking for some kind of lifeline after such a long time that would allow them to fulfill their responsibility that they perceived to the ancestors who had already passed away to restore the nation that the ancestors had taken away from them. So they saw this as an opportunity. They didn't check the guy's credentials well enough, or they probably didn't even know how to Google him and go see who he was and whether he'd been involved in things before. They just saw, you know, a gift from heaven, this man with the gold that was going to help him restore the kingdom. And because they picked Kalihi as the king, they just put his name on the website. And, you know, it turned out to be a fraud. But it was not, I don't consider it the responsibility of the elders, and certainly not the responsibility of the king, who knew nothing about it, for what happened.
Well, And we'll have the documents. I'm going to put the documents up, or not the documents, but I just the letter that you wrote on the.
I did a summary of this whole thing.
A summary, yeah. So we'll put this up as well, and just so people can read it if they want to. Jennifer, did you have any understanding about the Royal? Did you ever talk with Kili'i about the Royal Kupuna Exchange, or did you have any dealings with this?
This happened well before I met Kili'i, but it is something that he was very adamant about when he met me, is that he felt it was somewhat of a thorn in his side, that he just wanted to get rid of it, and could I do anything legally to take action to get rid of it, because it was not true. And, you know, he had no affiliation with the Royal Kupuna Exchange, and he had no knowledge of what was going on. And then it all occurred while he was in prison. And anybody who's been in the prison system knows there's little to no contact with the outside world. I mean, you've got to have an approved phone list. There's an approved email list. So had he been even involved in any of this, there would have been proof of it. But there, of course, he was not involved. But I explained to Kili'i that the internet is one of the most amazing places for information. It's a great blessing, and at the same time a great curse, because it can spread wonderful information and inform the people, but in the same respect, it can also spread a lot of disinformation. So people have got to be able to use their own powers of discernment. And once something makes it on the internet, like Lanny was saying, I mean, needing intellectual property attorney, I have firsthand experience with this, it is literally almost impossible to get rid of it. Because you can, like Lanny was saying, you can go after the web host, you can go after the ISP providers, you can go after, but at the end of the day, it is stored in the ethers, and you can always find it. So even when I was searching for it, it was still popping up. So Kili'i was very adamant that I try and do something about that. It's a very difficult road once misinformation is printed to get rid of it completely. Lanny did some great work in getting a lot of it taken down, but I don't think it will ever be fully removed from the website. But what my advice to Kili'i was, you know what you've done and what you have not done. You know this is false. Anybody who knows you knows this is false. And as you move the nation forward, there's going to be a lot of people out there that are going to spread disinformation about you. It's just the nature of the beast. So you've got to be able to rise above it. I mean, it happens to all nations, right? Leaders. There's a lot of websites out there about Obama and about the president of Russia. It's going to happen. And so we kind of have to not spend too much energy on it. We must focus our energies more on moving the nation forward and the positive work that we're doing, and not on the disinformation that's on the internet.
Yes.
And there's one other aspect of this that I just want to touch on. We don't have any evidence to support this, but when the king was in prison, I do have evidence on this, when the king was in prison, there were covert actions being run against him in the prison. People pretending to be foreign government representatives dealing with him about restoration of the kingdom, when in fact they were United States agents who were dealing with him, not foreign representatives. And because I saw that level of targeting on him for covert actions, I was always concerned about where that man with the gold came from. And was he sent to destroy this group that had formed a government to restore the nation, to restore the kingdom of Hawaii? We don't know. We do know that he was involved in other scams. Whether he was a tool for the United States national security apparatus or simply a scam artist, we don't know, but it's one of those question marks that hangs over the history.
Right. Well, I think that really gives at least a bigger picture. I don't know about for anybody else, but for me, I wasn't aware of all the, you know, how this came about and what people were talking about. So I think hopefully this will help some people understand, and I will post your letter, Lanny, that you wrote, like I said, and you do have some others you have some other people who basically wrote an affidavit that say...
We identified a couple of people just really recently, within the last year, who were involved with the Royal Kupuna Exchange episode.
Right.
And were telling us that when they were involved, they never even heard Kali'i's name mentioned, let alone him being somehow a part of it. So we got declarations from them on what they knew about his not even being part of it.
Right. Well, I think that, I'll post whatever I have from you at the moment, and just so people can take a look, and if they, you know, they can all make up their own mind. And I feel that the important thing is no matter what happens, sometimes we have to address these things and then, but not stop, just not let that stop us, because we're
right.
always moving forward. So,
we the warriors born to live, what the land that she can give, defend our birthright to be free, give our children liberty. Yeah.